This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Speakers, publishers, consultants, coaches, and info marketers unite. The Speaking of Wealth show is your roadmap to success and significance. Learn the latest tools, technologies, and tactics to get more bookings, sell more products, and attract more clients. If you're looking to increase your direct response sales, create a big-time personal brand, and become the go-to guru, the Speaking of Wealth show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Josh Turner to the show. He is the founder of Linked Selling, a B2B marketing firm specializing in fully outsourced LinkedIn lead generation campaigns, as well as webinars. His firm also helps people design webinars and make sure that those are working well and generate lots of leads from them. His company represents clients like Neil Patel and Microsoft, to name a couple of them, in the US, Canada, UK, Asia, Australia, and a wide variety of industries. Josh, welcome. How are you?
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me.
Good. It's good to have you. And you're coming to us, I assume, from St. Louis today?
Yep, in St. Louis. It's kind of a rainy day, but you know, you never know what you're going to get here.
That's right. So as I was talking to you a little bit before, you know, LinkedIn is a treasure trove for some people. For others, you know, because it's more of a business-to-business type of vibe. For others, it's not as fitting. You know, who is the ideal sort of profile client for really top-notch LinkedIn marketing, and how can it benefit them?
Well, I mean, typically what it comes down to is, are your prospects on LinkedIn? You know, and there's 330 million plus people as of today on LinkedIn, you know, so it's pretty widespread at this point. And for most of our clients, they're going to be B2B, so businesses that are looking to sell into other businesses, and they're looking at LinkedIn and they're saying, wow, there's all these prospects sitting here. And how can I tap into that? You know, so that's really what it comes down to. And then across that spectrum, there's all sorts of different types of companies that LinkedIn can be a good fit for.
So tell us about the different sort of categories in which, you know, someone can market themselves on LinkedIn. For example, if I asked you that question about Facebook, you know, there's their personal page, which I think is, frankly, in a way, one of the more effective. There are groups, there are business or fan pages. Kind of categorize and break that down, if you would.
Well, the basic element that everyone needs to have is that personal profile on LinkedIn. And there's a lot that you can do with that, right? So then from there, you know, if you're running your own business, you want to make sure you have a company page set up, which is kind of LinkedIn's version of a Facebook fan page or Facebook business page. It's called a company page on LinkedIn. There's LinkedIn groups that you can, you know, join and become a part of to get your name in front of, you know, prospects and other people in your industry, to engage in conversations, to share out your content. And there's a lot of ways that you can connect and contact people within those LinkedIn groups, similar to being a part of Facebook groups. You know, in addition to that, there's LinkedIn advertising and sponsored updates. There's publishing on LinkedIn, so you can create long form articles on LinkedIn that are then posted on your LinkedIn profile and can be then shared with all of your connections. If you're lucky, can, you know, turn a little bit viral and get a bit wider distribution throughout LinkedIn on what they call Pulse. So, you know, those are a handful of things. I mean, and just with those, that's enough to keep somebody pretty busy.
Sure is. Okay, so I want to break those down and kind of dive into them individually, but first, you know, is it necessary to be a decent marketer on LinkedIn? Is it necessary to pay for all of these things, or can you use the free platform? Or what should you upgrade your membership with, and, you know, what should you pay for and what shouldn't you?
There's so much you can do on LinkedIn with a free account that what we usually recommend people do is, you know, get the most out of that first. And really put some strategies in place that are going to work for you, even with the free account. And then when you see those working and you want to step on the gas a little bit, then the premium account becomes an easy decision. And some of the reasons why you might upgrade to that is you'll be able to perform more searches in LinkedIn. which is a somewhat recent thing, that free accounts are now limited on the number of advanced searches that they can do. With a premium account, you're more visible in the search results. You can see more people in the search results. You can see all of the people who have viewed your profile. You get access to in-mails, which allows you to contact anybody you want on LinkedIn, and you get advanced search functionality that's not available in the free account, which lets you get really granular with the prospecting that you're doing to find new potential clients. So those are some of the key benefits.
But I mean, is that prospecting done on a one-to-one kind of networking basis, or is it done on a one-to-many type of basis?
It depends on how you're going about it. So you can either be laser-focused in that you're looking for this specific type of person at this specific company. And that's really a one-on-one type prospecting where you're looking for the CEO of company XYZ, for example. Or you can be going after a more generic profile of, you know, any CEO in the IT industry, for example, or medical devices or anything. And then you can basically go after all those people in a more shotgun type approach, if you will. And you can do the same thing, whether it's through organic strategies where you're just reaching out to people, sending connection requests, utilizing different messaging approaches, or you can go about it the same way with LinkedIn's, you know, paid side with advertising and such.
I'm going to put you on the spot here just a little bit, Josh, and ask you this question if I can.
Sure.
And that is, do you have a unique philosophy to LinkedIn that's maybe different from other gurus and thought leaders in terms of LinkedIn strategy?
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, our basic premise and philosophy is that if you take the time to develop relationships with prospects before you go for the kill, before you go for the sales call or whatever the call to action is, whatever you're trying to get somebody to do, that your response rate will go way up. And so that's what we call systematically building relationships to convert cold prospects into warm leads. And it is really the underlying philosophy of all the work that we do for our clients. And so in more, you know, plain terms, what that means is design a campaign that's going to position yourself, your company, as one of the good guys. Position yourself as a leader in your space. Build some name recognition and awareness before you go for the phone call. Otherwise, you're just cold calling people, but using LinkedIn instead. Cold messaging them on LinkedIn, right? And that's a low percentage response activity. You know, you'll get some bites, but it's going to be few. On the other hand, if you take the time to do it the right way and develop the relationship, you get a much greater response rate.
So tell us about your typical engagement with a client when it is outsourced. They pay you, what, I guess a couple $1,000s a month? And how long does it take to sort of say that you've done this? I mean, I know social media is never done. I totally get that. But, you know, is there sort of a certain kind of a program length or campaign length that's ideal?
You know, it really depends, but typically when clients hire us, we say pretty straightforward that if they're not willing to commit to 4 months, then it's probably not worth us working together. That's, you know, pretty standard because these things take time to develop. And if you're going to really put the time in to develop relationships and work people through a systematic process to generate leads using LinkedIn, then you have to be willing to put in that time. And these campaigns can run for months and years.
Yeah, makes sense. Can you tell us about some case studies or success stories?
Yeah, sure. Let me think. I mean, one of the ones we're most proud of is a manufacturing company that we've worked with for quite some time now, because they're a real old school type traditional company that most people don't think of as, wow, they should be using LinkedIn. But, you know, sometimes those kinds of companies are even more successful with these campaigns than others because none of their competitors are doing this stuff. And with that company, we were able to get them in on a deal with a client who has been with them now for several years, and it's over $10 million in revenue for them at this point and continuing to grow because that it's repeat business on and on. Another good example is a software development firm that we work with. We were able to position in front of their target audience and through designing this kind of a campaign to position them as leaders in their space, in the eyes of their prospects. They've generated about $600,000 in sales at this point off of that. And, you know, we have lots of examples like that. An inbound marketing agency we work with out of Australia named Louder Online, who's a great client of ours, who's had a ton of success from working with us and has been great to work with. And, you know, lots of people like that in lots of different industries all over the world.
When you take someone's campaign on, I mean, do you send individual in-mails, they call them, you know, I'll just call them emails, messages, whatever, to people on LinkedIn? I mean, are you like really ghostwriting? Are you taking their place? Or are you posting things as though you're the person, or are you doing that only from a business one-to-many type angle?
Yeah, well, it's kind of yes and yes to both of those. So, you know, our clients, we will utilize their LinkedIn accounts, work with them to design the messaging so that it fits their voice, but also is within the framework of what we know works within LinkedIn with our process and our systems that, you know, we've been refining for, you know, years now. And then we execute it in such a way that it feels one-on-one and it's manually done one-to-one and all personalized, but is scalable in the sense that we can use the same messaging for lots of different prospects on their behalf. Does that make sense?
I guess so, but I mean, it seems like the messaging would have to be unique for it to feel personal and relevant. You know, what type of messaging are you talking about? Individual messages?
Yeah, individual messages from a client of ours to one of their prospects. And it does feel unique to them, but they don't know that behind the scenes, there's a lot of other people getting a very similar message, you know? It's all personalized and the content is customized so that it's going to fit and be relevant to a type of prospect that we are connecting our clients with. Right.
Do you have a mail merging program that does that, or are you doing that all manually?
No, that's done all manually.
All right, good. Well, what would you like people to know? Maybe something I didn't ask you about LinkedIn marketing, some of the principles, some of the key strategies.
We've talked about some more advanced type strategies and jumped ahead, but maybe for folks that are just trying to get started and they're wondering, you know, what should I be doing first? Yeah, it might be helpful for them to get some of those basics. So aside from just having your profile set up, you know, what I find most people struggle with is that they just don't have a clear plan, you know, and where it starts with having a clear plan is understanding, you know, who it is that you're trying to reach. So we call that creating a clear prospect profile, right? And then once you have that profile, that can guide your decisions on what groups to join within LinkedIn, that can guide your decisions on, you know, what kinds of content you want to be sharing out into those groups and with your prospects, right? So it all flows from who are the people you're trying to reach, and then what are the kinds of things they're going to care about? Where are the places they're hanging out? And you can build a pretty good campaign around those things. One of the biggest mistakes I see people make, even after having really soaked all that in, though, is that they'll then go out and start talking about themselves all the time. So they'll join the groups where their prospects are hanging out, and then they'll start sharing content into the group that's just their blog posts and stuff about their industry and what they do, thinking that they need to position themselves as the experts in their subject matter, right? So like an IT consultant might be just constantly talking about IT stuff because they think they need to be seen as the expert in that space, right? Which is understandable, but it can turn people off if you're not balanced, because most of the time our prospects don't care about what we do so much that they want to see something about it every single day, you know? And so by being balanced and, you know, really only talk about yourself 10, 15% of the time, and the rest of the time just be sharing other people's content and stuff that you know your prospects are really going to be into, then people will stay tuned into your stuff for a much longer period of time.
Yeah, well, I think that definitely makes sense. And that's, you know, harkens back to the idea of personal branding and how I said in my first book, which was about personal branding back in 1999, I can't believe how long ago that was. People don't have relationships with companies, logos, mission statements. They have relationships with people. That's why you have to be balanced and human and so forth.
Absolutely. And to that same point, you know, I get the question a lot, should I be doing all this LinkedIn stuff for my personal profile or my company page? And the fact is that on LinkedIn, just as with everything else, like you said, people do business with people. And there's far more you can do from a marketing standpoint on LinkedIn utilizing your personal profile than with a company page. So for the vast majority of people, it's that personal profile and it's those one-on-one touches that are really going to make the difference.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. What other mistakes or great success strategies can you share?
One more mistake, and I kind of alluded to this, but I see time and time again people join groups that are all about what they do, their subject matter expertise. So like a CPA, for example, an accountant will go join a bunch of accounting and finance groups. That's fine if your sole purpose is just staying in the know about your industry. But if you're trying to use LinkedIn for business development and for marketing and getting your name in front of prospects, none of your prospects are in those accounting groups. The only people in those groups are your competitors. So I recommend get out of most of those, stay in a couple if you want, and get in the groups where your prospects are hanging out. That's one mistake that people make all the time. And the second thing you said was some other strategies that are working, right?
Yeah, some other strategies. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. So, one that we love that's a stock part of our playbook is creating a LinkedIn group that you are the owner and manager of that is catered towards your prospects' interests. And by doing that, what you can do is really position yourself as a leader in the eyes of your prospects. And then when you can achieve that kind of positioning, you're seen as more of a peer in the industry and not just another salesperson trying to hump their leg all the time. You know what I mean? And so one of the ways we do that is by creating groups that are all about our clients' prospects. So, the software development company that I mentioned, we created a LinkedIn group for them called Midwest Manufacturing Leaders, and it's all content and discussion that is totally centered on things that senior level, C-level leaders within manufacturing companies would care about. And because our client is running that group and is the figurehead of that campaign, then when they reach out to prospects that we cherry pick out of that campaign, people are really open to it because our client is seen as more of a peer in the industry than just another vendor, So that's a really powerful strategy. It certainly takes a commitment to the long term to execute that. Those things don't just grow by themselves and they don't just pop up overnight, but when done right, they can be super effective.
Definitely makes a lot of sense. What do you see as the future of LinkedIn or any social media in general or marketing? I know you do webinars too. I'd love to just get a moment or two in to ask you about some of the webinar strategies that you recommend. But, take us to the future. Certainly we're all thinking about this, like, what's next? Is Facebook going to be virtual reality? I think they bought a company that does something like that. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm not too much of a futurist or pontificator on what's going to happen down the road, but especially with Facebook, who knows? They're certainly buying everything. LinkedIn has been buying a lot of stuff too, and so it's going to be interesting. But I think that as far as LinkedIn's concerned, I have thought from time to time in the past, hey, is this could be the next MySpace thing? Is this going to be around 5 years from now? And they have grown to a point where they're so prevalent, similar to Facebook, that no one's going to switch. At this point, it would be almost impossible for another thing to come along that would replace what they do now. Will the system change? Yeah, of course it will. Everything's always changing, but they're so entrenched that it's going to be around for a long time to come. And they still are only at a percentage of the market share that they plan on grabbing. I saw one of their SEC filings because, they're a public company. Recently, and now they have over 330 million members. I think their long-term goal is to have 4 billion, something crazy like that. And now that's not going to happen next year, but they're talking 15 years down the road or something. And that's pretty interesting to think about when you think about whatever that ends up being, a half or a third of the world's population or whatever, using LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing for sure. If any of us could have seen this back in, say, 1995 or something, I think we would have all been amazed. But look at what happened to MySpace. They're nothing, right?
Yep. You never know. You never know.
You really don't. But it seems awfully hard to dislodge companies like LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter with so much momentum behind them, Can you share a couple quick webinar tips before you go, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, let me think about it for a second. A couple tips, things that are working for us best right now.
Start with a platform. Do you recommend automated webinars or just live webinars, and what platforms and so forth? Yeah.
Yeah, both. I'll share this with you. So what typically our playbook is, let's do the live webinar. And make sure that it's good to go, that it converts well, and that it's, you know, all polished up and pretty. And then once we've got that recording in place, then we will then, you know, roll that into an automated system and then just keep that thing running in the background. And I'll tell you what, the automated webinars have changed our business. And, really the reason why is because we kind of stumbled upon this, some success in niching down. So instead of just having a webinar about LinkedIn strategies that is for any business, which we have some of those, of course. So we realized that creating specific webinars targeted different industries, verticals, niches, et cetera, all running in the background at the same time could be super, super effective. And I ran the numbers recently. It's allowed us to grow our sales from webinars by about 400%, right? So what does that really mean? Well, instead of, like I said, just having one generic LinkedIn webinar that's trying to cater to everybody, we now have a webinar for financial advisors. We have one for insurance agents. We have one for businesses in the United Kingdom. We have one for sales professionals. We have one for businesses in Australia. We have one for IT and telecom, and a bunch more, right? And so because it just speaks to people, like if you see an ad, if you're a financial advisor and you see an ad for just another LinkedIn webinar, you're going to think, is this really going to be applicable to me? But when you see an ad for LinkedIn training for financial advisors, you're going to be all over that. You know, and so, I mean, that's something I recommend to people all the time is, you know, really the further down you can niche, the more success you'll have with webinars, because that message can just be laser focused to your audience.
What about platforms, webinar platforms, the actual software that you use? Do you have your own, for example, or do you recommend, you know, third party products?
Yep, absolutely. We use GoToWebinar for live webinars. And I know a lot of people that are having good success with Webinar Jam as well. And for automated webinars, Stealth Seminar is what we use for that.
Yeah, I thought Webinar Jam did automated webinars too.
You can run, so I personally do not use Webinar Jam as of right now. Some people will call me a fool because of that, but you know, we like GoToWebinar. Our audience is really comfortable with it. And when we've tried to do Google Hangout style webinars in the past that have been a disaster for us. So we've just stayed away from it for the time being.
I'm glad you said that. What went wrong on the Google Hangouts? Why was that a disaster?
Well, there's been, problems with people just being able to access the content the right way, where we've got the presenter speaking and we've got the slide deck going and people can't hear the audio. They have trouble getting the slides to show up right for them. It just complaints from lots of people that we never have when we do them on GoToWebinar. You know, so I've just tried to stay away from them. And the only time we do them is when we're working with joint venture partners. You know, we promote somebody else's webinar. We do that kind of stuff every once in a while. And, you know, some of the folks that we do webinars with on that side have said, hey, I like to do them on Google Hangouts. We're like, okay, cool. And then it's always a mess in some way or another.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Good stuff. Well, Josh, give out your website. Tell people where they can find out more. If you want to give it a Twitter handle too, please do that.
Yeah, sure. I don't do much on Twitter, but you can, you know, check out linkedselling.com to learn more about us. If you want to sign up for one of our webinars, you can go to linkedwebinar.com or look me up on LinkedIn and send me a connection request there.
Good stuff. Josh Turner, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Good times.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.